Talking Heads with Psycho Killer. Hi, this is Adam Buxton.
Hey there, this is Joe Gornish. Welcome to the Adam and Joe Breakfast Show here on Six Music. It's our penultimate show. Sean Keaveney's coming back on Monday, but we're here with you for 3 hours this morning and tomorrow morning.
There's a little band just playing in the corner of the studio. That's what we do here. We come in. The band's called The Dirty Boys. Hey, you guys. Sounding good. Sounding good this morning, Dirty Boys. They're just jamming. That's what it's like here at the Big British Castle, the home of music that matters, important music.
What is this bed?
Bed?
Lisa.
What are you talking about?
Apostrophe.
Apostrophe.
That's the perfect bed.
Yeah. This is the wake up, come on, hey, good morning, bed. And then later on, when things calm down a bit, James Brown comes out and he plays behind
us. Yeah. Now, life is difficult for David Bowie fans, just as a rule.
Right.
Isn't it? Having to endure his...
All the changes.
All the changes. Having to endure his latest appearances in movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
You know.
What's he done now?
This morning, it's been announced that he might appear in Doctor Who.
Oh, don't
as a
do
villain.
That. Now, this is something I want to talk about, because Bowie, Joe and I are big Bowie fans.
Yes, we are.
And I certainly was obsessed by him for quite a long time, so we should chat about this a bit later on. Also coming up in the show, we have Text the Nation. It's the nation's favourite feature. It's an opportunity for you, ordinary people everywhere, leading ordinary lives, just to get in touch with us, Joe Cornish and Adam Buxton. We're like geniuses, and we'll be moderating a debate. I'm setting ourselves up.
For a fall.
For a fall, yeah. We'll be moderating a debate between people all over the... Please start talking, Joe. Start talking.
Yeah, Text the Nation. It's the nation's favourite feature. It's where you text us and we read them out.
Good.
No one else does it. We invented it.
But
there's, of course, Serial Thriller coming up at 8 o'clock. Lots of other stuff on the show. Great music this hour from the likes of Frente, Baby Chambles, and also The Shins. But here's some Swixy Swix. That's how you say it, isn't it?
That's correctly pronounced.
Yeah, with Into a Swan. This is David Bowie on Six Music. That was Susie Sue. Into the Swan, David. I'll be. I'm calling myself David.
Hello,
you wouldn't do that.
This is David Bowie, and
that sounds less like David Bowie than my one does.
It is. It's
my one was a lot better than yours.
Okay.
What I like most about this program is the theatricality.
I like the superlative nature of a lot of the tracks that we play on the show.
The theatricality is superlative, I think. I've just finished filming The Prestige with Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan, whoa.
What kind of voice do you do on The Prestige with Christopher Nolan?
In The Prestige, I play Nikola Tesla. Tesla.
I'm trying to do Bowie's voice in The Prestige. He plays a French guy.
I do a sort of Germanic, slightly Germanic accent, don't I?
I'm very interested in the...
It's very hard to do.
It is. My Tesla coils have got all sparky.
Sparky! Yeah,
but you is need that a line from it?
Yes.
But you need the accent as well.
I had the accent.
My Tesla coils have got all sparky.
it's difficult to be David Bowie, I tell you.
Hey, this is Adam and Joe. This is BBC Six Music. Welcome to The Breakfast Show. We were just discussing the shocking news that David Bowie might be in Doctor Who. Now, if you're a fan of sort of an icon, especially someone who sort of reached the peak of their creative powers.
Ben Shepherd.
I am talking about Ben Shepherd here, yeah. And also David Bowie.
Yeah.
Someone who reached the peak of their career maybe 10 or 15 years ago, you know?
David, he's had a couple of...
Well, no, but that peak was so high.
Absolutely.
You know, the absolute, you know, irreturnable pinnacle. Then you've got to deal with what they do in their autumn years.
Yeah.
How they spin their career out. And for Bowie fans, it's quite difficult.
It is.
The rot set in. When would you say the rot set in? I mean, something like Labyrinth was difficult for some of us.
Absolutely.
Not so difficult for Adam and me. We thought that was a good move. But I remember the day when we first saw Labyrinth, and there was David wearing a big spiky wig, dressed as the Goblin King, juggling babies, singing a song called Dance, Baby, Dance. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
We were confused and worried, but then after a few minutes, we thought, yes, no, this is good.
We're happy
this is
about
a good
this.
New direction for David.
Look at the hair.
Since then, it's been harder to kind of completely stay with David's creative decisions.
Do you know what the hardest thing for me has been?
What?
And let me just say briefly, put this in context. This is a man that meant everything to me. I mean, I'm a happily married heterosexual man with two lovely sons. But I loved David Bowie. Just in every conceivable way, I was romantically, I adored the man. I would have done anything for him. I used to dream about him the whole time.
And all right, steady.
He was wonderful. Anyway, now in the twilight years of my life, I see him doing all these extraordinary things. And the most painful thing for me is that he's chummed up with Ricky Gervais.
Now, love Ricky Gervais or hate him.
And I personally love the man. He's a comedy genius, and I love his
output.
He
gives all his profits to charity,
yeah,
which means he's lovely.
I'm a sincere and big fan of both The Office and Extras and many of Gervais's comedy efforts.
Quite right.
But
sometimes you don't want two worlds to mix, do you? You want Ricky to stay in his universe and Bowie to stay in his quite different rock universe.
Exactly. And if he steps out of his Bowie castle and he starts chumming up with a comedian, not him.
You don't want him singing kind of songs written by Ricky Gervais.
No, that was a painful thing. You know, I was very conflicted on that episode of Extras that Bowie appeared in.
Because it was a good episode.
It was a good episode. It was a funny song.
But it was mixing things that maybe shouldn't be mixed.
I was the jealousy.
And now Doctor Who.
And now Doctor
Who. Can we have him appearing in Doctor Who?
I would rather he appeared in Doctor Who.
Exterminate. Exterminate.
Time for some music now.
I bet you every breakfast show in the land has made that joke.
What?
Exterminate.
No, they haven't. This is The Lars with There She Goes. That's a brilliant new joke.
It's a good accent as well. The Lars, There She Goes. They're quite happy about her leaving. They didn't really like her in the first place. It's good that she's gone. Time's going to be freed up. You know, house to themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's just coming up to 20 past seven. We've got to say a hello. We don't usually say hellos, but we've had a lovely evocative email from Giles Rowland. He says, "Dear Adam and Joe, have really enjoyed listening to your output these past 2 weeks. Please mention me and my brother Leo early on in your show, as we are milking our herd of cows whilst listening to Six Music from 5 to 8 every morning. Brackets, even Christmas Day."
Wow.
That's pretty good. That's quite a high-tech farm, isn't it? They've got digital radio in their milking shed.
They've got DAB actually in the cows.
Really?
Yeah. The cows come with DAB now. I don't know if you knew that.
Do the cows occasionally just say, no signal received?
Yes,
yeah, across
sometimes.
Their eyeballs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You try and get the station.
That's the only annoying thing about
say,
digital radio.
No!
Hey! Quickly, next record.
Because they're cows.
Cow's not going to get better than that. Let's have the shins. Hooray,
that's good, isn't it? That's good. That's good, is what that is.
Yeah, that's good. That's the shins with Turn Me On. This is Adam and Joe
on
BBC on Six
me.
Music. All right,
why,
yeah, but...
Why can't you read?
Because I'm very, you know...
Sexy
this morning.
Very sexy this morning. That's a brilliant album, incidentally, the Shins album.
I want someone to turn me on with their shins.
Wincing the Night Away.
Is that possible?
It is possible. It's easily possible. There's many, many websites dedicated to exactly that. Now, we're going to play a trail very shortly, and after that, are we going to come back, or am I going to introduce it off the back of the trail? What?
We're going to come back after the trail. This is unorthodox. A trail usually comes immediately after a song or before a song.
But
today,
like to mix
we're going to talk
up.
Around the trail.
We're talking around the trail. Here's the trail.
I wonder what the original Baby Love did sound like for it to be rejected by Berry Gordy.
Like this. Baby
Love. Guys, I love that track. You don't need to do anything to it.
Unfortunately, it's been rejected. Apparently, we need to do some tweaking. They don't like the bit.
That's exactly what it went. That's a little extract. There's an extra extract.
Yeah, that extract was previously broadcast on BBC Two.
From there?
No, Radio Two on the bank holiday.
Look at the beautiful sunrise there on the telly. It's the weather lady.
I don't think you should tell the listeners we're watching telly.
I'm not watching it. It's just on in the corner
that
in case anything, like, you know, in case
important news
a meteorite
happens,
or something. Now, it's time for my session track. This is from the John Peel Sessions, and it's a track from 1997, 15th of July, when Yola Tengo, an American band from Hoboken, New Jersey, went into the BBC studios and laid down a few crazy tracks for John Peel. Now, this is a wonderful band. Well worth investigating. Joe Cornish, you were going to say
What does it mean? What does Yola Tengo mean?
Yola Tengo means I have it. in Spanish.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
This is a track called Autumn Sweater. Enjoy! Yo La Tengo with Autumn Sweater from the John Peel Sessions. That's from 1997. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Time now for the news, read by Catherine and Lucy.
Yeah, that's Gold Frap with Train.
We're trying to think, while that was playing, about any other bands or outfits named after the surname of the lead singer.
Yeah, I didn't realise that Alison Goldfrapp's real surname was Goldfrapp. I thought that might not be her real name. I thought she might have changed it by Depot or whatever it is you do.
I can't guarantee that she didn't change it. I believe that that was her given name, you know, her
yeah,
family
so
name.
I was asking Adam, are there any other bands who are named after the lead singer's surname? And Adam suggested Jonathan Stereophonics, singer of the Stereophonics.
Lead singer of Billy Bee Gees.
Yep. Any others, listeners? Maybe you know. By the way, you can text us at any point on 64046 or email us adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Now, we should remind you of the extraordinary week-long kind of voting phenomenon that's going on the show. Basically, me and Adam have written a song each. And we're asking you to listen to little clips of those songs and vote for which one you'd like played in its entirety on Friday's show.
It's like Sean Keaveney's feature Band-Aid.
Mm.
In fact, it's the same feature, but instead of real bands, we've given you two little bogus bits of music.
Mm. Now, so we should play you these snatches again. To vote, you go to the BBC Six Music website.
I'm not doing very well on this vote. In fact, Joe Cornish, with his ludicrous techno track, has accrued something like 64% of the vote so far.
Currently, my song has got 64%. Adam's has got 36%.
36%.
That's not bad, man.
That is bad.
I wouldn't say that the race is won yet. You know, there's a whole 2 days play to go. Is there, or is it just today? Well, there's during the day tomorrow. Basically, we're going to collate the figures at what point? Maybe the last hour of the show. We'll play it on Friday, so we'll collate the figures, you know, early morning tomorrow. So it's all to play for. Don't give up, Ad.
I am giving up. Listen, I'm worried that maybe, because you've been playing my clip first, generally, right? Because it's Adam and Joe, so you play my clip. I want you to play Joe's clip first today, all right? Because I'm worried that maybe
That makes no sense.
I don't care.
Usually people don't have the attention span. Oh, I see what you mean, actually. That could be a point.
It sticks in the head.
Yeah, because the last one they hear sticks in the head.
Exactly.
Or you see on interactive voting shows, I usually think that the first person to feature in the clip montage has the advantage.
Right.
Because everybody leaps to the phone, the lines then become busy.
Well,
you can't vote for later ones.
I want to switch it all around today.
Perhaps people aren't voting in the same numbers.
Let's have a look. Let's see if this changes.
Hey, this is a clip from my song. Vote for this song. This is a kind of techno track about shopping in European supermarkets. It's called European Supermarkets.
Nice.
Won't somebody help me, please? A mini break in Amsterdam.
That's the bit.
European supermarket.
Ah, amazing. That goes on for 2 minutes. It's brilliant. If you want to hear the whole of that, just go to BBC Six Music and vote for Joe's song. I think I could be big on the techno scene.
With that noise, you could. I mean, I hate to admit
it. It's not just the noise, man. That's very reductive.
It is the noise.
You haven't heard the full 2 minute version, and when you do, you'll eat your hat.
What do you mean, when I do? I'm never going to hear it, because I'm going to win this, and no one will ever hear anything more than that tiny clip of your song.
So here's the other track. What's this, Adam?
This is called Jane's Brain, and it's a bit of classic rock about what goes on inside a lady's brain.
She'd use her brain to think of things that she didn't have. She'd think of cars, and she'd think of fancy dresses, and she'd think of big houses, and she'd think of cars.
How very condescending to all women. I think that's why it's not being voted for. The
possibly.
Lyrics seem to go, she used her brain, as if that's something that she doesn't do very often.
This is just Jane.
To think
we're
of things
about.
She didn't have.
This is not all women.
This is suggesting that all women are in a sort of materialistic, obsessive daze, and all they think about are cars and dresses and then cars again. Women don't care about cars. So not only have you insulted them, you've got them all wrong.
Anyway, so get voting now. Where do they go to vote?
The BBC Six Music website.
Six Music.
In this day and age, we don't give you the kind of the URL.
It's
you just stick Six Music into Google. It'll be the top hit.
There you go.
Navigate to our little site there, and voting's very, very easy.
Now, here's a track from a band that I haven't actually heard before, Silver Sun Pickups. They're big news, though, right? And the guy from Silver Sun Pickups is on Roundtable with Steve Lamacq. It's all happening for the Pickups, and this is called Lazy Eye.
Is he suggesting that the very thin stars on the red carpet, what's he saying, that they've, like, been absorbed by the carpet?
Yeah, they've slipped through the carpet because it's turned into quicksand.
He's funny.
He's entertaining.
He's brilliant. That's Harry Hill coming up on Six Music. That'll be really good. We recommend you listen to that. This is Adam and Joe, though, on a more downbeat note, on The Breakfast Show here until 10 o'clock for you. Now, we were asking whether there were other bands that were named after the surname of the lead singer.
A bit like Goldfrapp.
Yeah, and thanks, listeners. Our listeners respond very promptly, efficiently, and thoroughly to all music-related queries, this being Six Music.
Can you not say query?
Can't I?
No, it's no. It's on the list, the Big British Castle...
insulting words.
List of words that are no longer acceptable. Okay?
Okay. So here are some of the responses. Karen Carpenter, of course.
Yeah, Carpenters.
Named her band The Carpenters.
I suppose you could have that. Although it's not exactly the same as Goldfrapp, do you know what I mean? It's like if it was called Carpenter, that would be different. The Carpenters... It's not the same, because then it's like the cause doesn't count.
Yeah, like if it was the whole Goldfrapp family.
Yeah.
And they called it the Goldfrapps.
That's not on. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking
it's
about...
It's just not as exciting a name, is it?
Like someone else texted in, Roachford. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, but he's a solo singer. He doesn't really have a band, does he?
He did have a band, I think. I mean, it was the same sort of situation as Goldfrapp. Maybe I'm wrong. Bon Jovi is a good example.
Yeah. What about Bon Jovi, says Simon in Kent? Argent? Who are they?
Argent. Yes, they were around in the 70s, I think.
The White Stripes, Simon is also suggesting?
No. Wrong.
What they're called, the Stripes? Mr. and Mrs. Stripe? Aren't they?
Meg White Stripes. And Jack White Stripes.
Yeah.
No.
And Al in London, this is one of my favourite ones, says the are named after the lead singer Tim the, which is not true.
That's not true.
It'd be nice if it was.
Now, Joe, it's time for your session track. What have you pulled out of the vaults?
Yeah, we're going back to 78. What a great year 78 was it?
What were you doing in 78?
It was the year after the Jubilee, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was I doing? I don't know. Probably collecting Star Wars cards.
That's right.
Yeah, probably playing around my friend Alexander McFarlane's house, pretending that the bed in his spare room was a land speeder, and that his little brother... was a sand person.
Or an Ewok.
Or an Ewok, and throwing him off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, violently.
Were you into Smurfs around that stage?
Yeah, I was.
Collecting those
Smurfs? Sure I was into Smurfs.
Yeah, sure, who wasn't?
Yeah, I was all the way up into Smurfs.
How many Smurfs did you have?
My brother had the big Smurf collection.
Did he?
I probably had about five or six, yeah.
Five or six? You disgust me. You disgust me.
Why? Is that a lot?
That's
or
nothing. That's not even... were you into Smurfs? You say, yeah, I was into Smurfs.
And we weren't an enormously rich family like yours, Adam.
You could
I've
get
worked
them.
My way up to this position. I haven't just been dropped here by Chopper.
It
like
wasn't
you.
About riches.
Anyway,
it was about collecting them from petrol stations.
Stop talking. It's time for my archive session track. This is back in 1978. This is Elvis Costello. What?
Five or six.
Elvis Costello and the Attractions with Pump It Up.
Joe's pick of the BBC archive.
Wow, another amazing session track there from the Peel session. Elvis Costello and the Attractions playing Pump It Up on the 13th of March, 1978. Now, Adam and I were just having a bit of a tizzy during that song because before the song, we were discussing what we were doing in 1978. And this is a query for the more mature listeners.
I thought I told you about saying query.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm obsessed with queries.
Inquiry.
Inquiry.
Quiz. No, you can't say quiz. It's difficult, isn't it?
Do you remember out there a campaign by Unigate Milk in the mid to late 70s to do with stripy straws called Humphreys? Now, my brother was obsessed with these things. Basically, you could leave a note out or maybe a bit of money for the milkman, and he would leave kind of special straws that looked like barber's poles with a red stripe around them. They were filled with strawberry powder that you put into your milk, encourage you to drink them. The advertising slogan was, watch out, there's a Humphrey about. These stripy straws would, like, march across the screen. Adam is saying... What are you saying?
Well, I'm saying... it's like Newsnight here, isn't it? But I'm saying that the Humphrey aspect of the whole thing was just part of the advertising campaign. It was like a phantom presence that was stealing the straws, drinking the milk.
Was Humphrey the straw itself? Me and my brother used to think the straws were called Humphreys.
Well, I used to think that as a totty as
or
well.
Or was Humphrey a guy that came, a kind of mysterious presence that stole the straws?
Yeah, no, it wasn't so much stealing the straws as just drinking all the milk and stuff. It was like, oh no, someone's drunk my milk, because it was all a campaign by Unigate Dairies to make the drinking of milk more attractive to young people.
Mm. Yeah. If you can help us with that, text 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. What now, music time? Yeah, here's The Breaks with Beatific Visions.
She's just got summer in her hair. That's disgusting.
That's Breaks with Beatific Visions. This is Adam and Joe here on 6 Music, covering for Sean Keaveney while he's away. Only one more day. We've got tomorrow, and that's it for us. And then Sean's back with you next week. We haven't had any texts about the Humphrey situation, have we yet?
We have, but we're just collating them. Jenny and I are collating them.
Doing a little collating.
We're putting them through the various BBC scans.
You know, it's strange because nowadays, of course, milk doesn't have the same cachet that it once did in the medical world. In fact, there's many respected medical professionals who'll tell you to avoid milk altogether.
Are there?
Yeah, absolutely. Some people think
you've been watching Undercover Mums again,
raw
haven't
sewage.
You and your Undercover Mums obsession.
Yeah. Right, now it's time for the news, and it's read by Catherine and Lucy.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. That was Interpol with Mammoth. We're going to talk about Humphreys again in a second, but first, it's time for the serial thriller. This is the part of the show where a listener calls in and chooses two tracks to play back-to-back that give Adam and I a chance to have a bit of breakfast. And on the line, we've got Marion Mardell. Hello, Marion.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine this morning.
Very good. Thank you. Bye-bye. That was a joke.
Marion, where are you calling from?
From Cardiff.
Cardiff. Do you like living in Cardiff?
I do. I've been here a number of years now.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you do for a living? What are you going to do the rest of today?
I'm a nurse.
You're a nurse? What kind of... Are you an angry nurse or a nice nurse?
Probably a bit of both sometimes.
Yeah, oh, she sounds really? Like an angry one. She sounds
you,
like a
you,
frightening
you
nurse.
You caress with one hand and spank with the other. Is that right?
Oh, quite possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
Do
yeah.
you smell very slightly of disinfectant?
Not at all.
Not at all. Good, I'm very pleased to hear it.
How long have you been a nurse, Mary?
Oh, well over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's...
We here at the Adam and Joe Breakfast Show commend you.
We salute you.
We salute you.
A nurse is one of those jobs, though, when you tell people you're a nurse, do you get this, Marion? They sort of go, yeah, that's a proper job. They're impressed. You
is
know
that what
yeah.
happens when oh, you yeah. tell people you're a nurse, Adam?
That's why I... Yeah, exactly. That's why I tell people I'm a nurse. You know, when I don't want to get into the whole thing of, well, I used to do a late night kind of comedy show on chat. You know what? I'm a nurse. I'm
hey,
a nurse.
Marion, here's a question for you. Have you ever been, like, on a plane or in a non-nursey situation and, like, saved somebody?
Not particularly. I went to someone on a train once when they asked for somebody with medical experience.
Did you save them?
No. He decided, well, I went to him and so did somebody else, and the person got off the train at the next station to get attention.
I thought it was going to end badly.
It was going to be a downbeat story. They got off the train, that's good.
Nothing heroic
good.
On a train.
I was asked to help,
plane.
But I decided not to, and he died. I thought that was the way the story was going to go.
And we've got here a sort of a fact sheet about you, Marion. It says your favourite film is Billy Elliot.
Yeah, one of my favourites. I like anything sort of musical theatre, musical comedy.
Now, have you seen the stage production of Billy Elliot?
I haven't yet, no.
Oh, you've got to see it.
Apparently, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. I went to see it. I thought, I'm not going to like this.
Go and see it?
Because my girlfriend's company did help do the publicity for it.
Right. And we could get free tickets.
Oh.
So I thought I'd go and see it. I thought, I'll walk out by the interval. I won't like this. Not at all. It was amazing. Yeah. Shivers down my spine.
Brilliant.
It was so exciting. It's really, really good. You'd love it, Marion.
Yeah, I'm sure I will, and when I get there eventually.
If this wasn't the BBC, we'd like arrange for tickets for you to go and see it.
Yeah,
but it is the BBC.
We'd
we can't
solicit,
do competitions.
But there's no soliciting. Now, what kind of music have you picked out for us this morning, Marion?
This morning I've chosen for you Arcade Fire's No Cars Go.
Oh, yeah. Now, are you a big fan of the band?
Yeah, it's very different music.
We're
going to see them in Cardiff in October, I believe.
Have you seen them before?
No.
It's quite an experience.
Sure.
It's it's really sort of like almost like a religious gathering. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You'll really enjoy that. That's a great track. And what's the other one you've picked
for
us?
The other one is Burn My Shadow by Uncle. Again, a very different band I'd never heard of before June.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to buy the album when it came out in July.
Who's getting you into all this crazy music, Marion?
Oh, my husband has a big part to play here.
Okay, what's his name?
Andy.
Andy, shout out to Andy, maximum respect.
Nice choices, Marion. We're going to start with the Uncle track, Burn My Shadow. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, Marion.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Very nice to talk to you. Have a great day. And here's Burn My Shadow by Uncle.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music, The Breakfast Show. Before that, you heard a great serial thriller courtesy of Marion Mardell. Thanks, Marion. Burn My Shadow by Uncle and Arcade Fire with No Cars Go.
I always feel a little embarrassed when I talk to people like nurses. You know what I'm saying?
It's like we're not good enough to talk to
them. That's right, because I'm...
They should be above our kind of, you know, sink of trivial mulch.
Yeah, our cathedral of ludicrousness. Anyway, it was really nice to talk to you, Marion, and very much enjoyed those tracks.
She brought a bit of class to the show.
Lovely little bit. Look at that. Oh, beautiful nurse.
Lovely nurse.
Look at that nurse.
Bringing a bit of class. Ooga booga.
We're now removing it. But should we settle the whole Humphrey situation?
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about the Humphrey campaign, a campaign by Unigate, the dairy, that was on in the 70s, in the days when they used to deliver little glass milk bottles to your doorstep every morning.
Mm.
Probably still goes on in many parts of the country, but certainly kind of stopped here in London, unfortunately.
Before they discovered that milk was indigestible sewage.
Mm. They had a campaign to encourage kids to drink milk, and we were a bit confused about the specifics of this campaign. We knew there was something called a Humphrey. We weren't sure whether it was the straw itself. Adam was doubting that the actual straws existed.
Joe was going on about straws filled with stripy straws filled with strawberry powder that you stirred into your drink. I didn't remember that part of it. I thought that the Humphrey element was just a sort of spectre saying, "What, you better drink your milk quick, children, otherwise Humphrey's going to come and steal it with his big long straw."
Well, you know, we were both slightly right, because that's true. I don't think that Humphrey was the straw itself. Humphrey was the kind of off-screen spectre who kind of had a really long straw that he would extend into the frame of the advert.
Like Phil Spector.
Yeah, and dip into the milk and steal the milk of either Rod Hull or Frank Muir or whoever was in the advert.
Mm.
And in fact, thanks to the magic of YouTube, you can see those adverts quite easily.
Yeah, we just had a look at the Rod Hull and Emu one, and it very clearly shows you that there are strawberry powder filled straws that you can purchase. 10p, you get 3 straws.
3 for 10p.
Not bad.
My older brother, a couple of years older, he coveted his stripy straws to a ludicrous extent.
Mm-hmm.
He kept them all. He refused to drink them and open them. He kept them all. He thought they'd increase in value enormously as a kind of investment. We were about like 3 and 5 at this point. And so he hid them under a floorboard in his bedroom,
right,
together with a sheet of Humphrey stickers that you got free from the milkman.
Yeah.
And I was so jealous of those straws.
Right.
When he went out to play with friends, I used to go round and open up his secret floorboard and look at them and consider stealing them.
Just look at them. You never actually nicked one.
Maybe I did.
Oh, you dirty.
I might have. And I remember they were there until he was about 17. So he did keep them for about 11 years.
Oh,
they're probably still there.
And then one night had a strawberry milk crazy party and...
Snorted strawberry milk powder off a pop star's boobs.
Nice. That's something that we can all look forward to if we get sufficiently successful. Now, here's one of your favourite bands, Joe.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is Ben Folds 5. This is a great track. This is Brick. Ben Folds 5 with Brick. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Now, on Monday, Sean W. Keaveney is back, and he's got a new feature that we'd like to encourage you to kind of get in touch about. It's called Happy Days.
Oh.
What, were you thinking he'd had surgery?
No, I thought he had the third nipple.
Really?
Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about that.
No, okay. That's a secret.
That's a secret feature.
His new feature is called Happy Days, and he wants you to let him know about a track that has got some kind of special meaning or memory attached to it.
You didn't even tell people how Happy Days was spelt.
With a Z, you're right, that is important.
With a Z, because that's, you know, it distinguishes it from the entertaining program about the 50s.
Exactly. So there you go. If you've got a track that makes you feel really happy, got lovely memories attached to it, go to the Six Music website, click on the Happy Days link. You have to fill in a brief form. It'll ask for your national insurance, your insurance number, your income, you know, all sorts of personal details like that.
You'll be vetted by a team of
BBC researchers.
Agents.
Yeah. And if you're successful, you know, maybe you'll get a track played on the show and you'll get to speak to him on the phone and stuff. It'll be wicked.
We're joking, of course, not about the whole feature, but it's very, very easy to get on there and get your track requested. So check out the BBC Six Music website. And also, of course, you should be voting for our Band-Aid tracks. More about that in a while. But now here's a bit more music. Here's Jefferson Airplane with White Rabbit. Ooh, crazy drugs, crazy.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's, yeah.
That's the jingle that set the nation on fire.
Set the nation literally on fire. And there's a big fire situation now, and the police are trying to put out the fire using...
Hey, that's insensitive, because there was a fire in one of the Royal Parks yesterday. So how insensitive?
That's very insensitive.
It is, of course, time for the nation's favourite feature. It's Text the Nation, the important part of the show, where we ask you to respond to a special question. We accept your texts on 64046.
And, of course, as the jingle made perfectly clear, we will accept emails as well.
To so. Adam and Joe, all one word, with A-N-D, not an ampersand, dot six, the number six, music at bbc.co.uk, the world's most complicated email address.
Now, today we are talking about times in your life when you thought you were so cool, when in fact you were absolutely nothing of the kind.
You were an idiot, yeah. Maybe it was a time, say, 5 or 10 years ago. Maybe it was a time when you were a teenager, or when you were kind of a different kind of a person, and you thought you were being the coolest person in the world. But now, in retrospect, you realize with a sort of shiver of fear that you were a complete twizzle.
Now, I reckon the holy grail of this Text the Nation would be to find someone who is up for admitting that actually they did a little cool gaff really quite recently. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because most of the ones that I can recall just initially are from my teenage years. That's when you make most of your errors, your cool errors.
So let's give a couple of examples. I used to go on holiday in Devon to a little town called Dulverton, a beautiful town.
And you thought it was so cool to go on holiday in Devon.
No. They had, every summer, they had a kind of a festival, a street party.
Yeah.
And I forget which summer it was, but it was the summer that Come On Eileen by Dex's Midnight Runners came out.
81.
And there was a disco in the street. They played that track very loudly.
82.
And I danced like I'd never danced before.
Right.
Leaping around, doing amazing moves. I was possessed by some kind of dancing spirit demon.
Yeah.
And I danced so amazingly that a big space cleared in the street party. There was like a radius of, say, 10 meters around me.
No.
I was leaping around. I was thinking, wow, my dancing amazing. Everybody's watching. This is amazing. Everyone's looking at me. And I went over to my mum, like, mid-dance. I went, God, this is really fun, Mum. And she said, yes, you're a really good dancer, Joe. You're dancing so stylish. I remember her saying.
Yeah.
I carried on dancing. It was incredible. Cleared the whole dance floor. Now, of course, I realized I was just an idiot. I was dancing like some kind of epileptic squid. People had to back away just to keep themselves physically safe. And God knows what they were saying about me in the crowd.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's an example. At the time, I thought I was kind of John Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
Now I realize I was in terrible, terrible social trouble.
I think that sounds sweet. I bet your mum was digging it. She was
Or,
probably...
maybe I was really good.
Maybe.
Maybe the dancing was incredible.
Well, this is the thing. There's always the chance with these things, you know, that actually it's sometimes it's just a natural impulse to be a little embarrassed of things you've done. Actually, maybe you were onto something.
Give us your example, Adam.
Well, one thing I often think about is one of my many fashion faux pas. In fact, a friend of mine the other day was looking through some photographs of me, and we were looking through some old pics and stuff. And he was like, man, the clothes you used to wear. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you used to turn up in some pretty weird stuff. And I just never...
You did, actually.
I never thought of myself like that at all. I just always thought I was fairly normal, but I would do... I would occasionally wear sort of slightly stupid things. Like, I went through a phase of wearing kind of very big, high-top Dr. Martin boots, very highly polished up, with white socks, big, thick white socks, which I would pull...
Well, this wasn't that long ago,
I
either.
I would pull right
up. This was
up.
Early 20s.
Early 20s. Yeah, this was about 15 years ago, you know.
At school, you used to sometimes dress like a kind of a rock priest.
Rock priest.
Quite a short rock priest.
Yes.
You had a very long coat that made you sort of look a bit like some kind of stop-motion character that didn't have any feet.
Yeah.
And then you'd wear a collarless shirt with the top button done up. And
well, you know, what I wanted to look like was David Byrne in Stop Making Sense. I thought, that's what I'm like. Except instead of David Byrne, I was the physical opposite of David Byrne. I was short and squat.
Yeah.
And
you looked like Donald Boob.
So I'd go around with my top button done up, and I'd wear like a black jacket, one of my dad's old black suit jackets, and I'd think, I'm exactly like David Byrne. And then I would start embellishing. And one night, I remember, I went to the pub with a friend of mine. There was a pub that would serve us even though we were underage, and we went there, and I thought, I'm going to make a splash in the pub tonight with a fashion idea. And I got a load of safety pins, and I made a chain out of the safety pins, and I pinned one end of the chain to my left shoulder, and then I pinned the other end to my right shoulder. So it was just a kind of...
You were like Colonel Clips.
Yes!
You were like the general of the stationary army.
Decorated for services to fashion. And the guy at the pub, who was like a big old bloke, he just stared at me, and then he laughed. He just laughed to himself, and he's like, well, you're prepared for any emergency, aren't you?
So we're not specifically talking about fashion faux pas. That would be too narrow. We're just talking about times you thought you were the coolest person in the world, but in retrospect, you realise you were an idiot. Text 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Is it time for some editors?
It certainly is. An end has a start.
That's Editors with An End Has a Start. Tom Smith, the lead singer of Editors, will be on Steve Lamacq's show from tomorrow from 4 p.m. here on BBC Six Music. That's exciting, isn't it?
It's good news for Editors fans, certainly. Now, the breakfast single of the week this week is one that's been chosen by Joe Cornish.
Yes, it's King Creosote with You've No Clue, Do You? We're going to play it right now.
Sounds very good, that show. I'm going to be listening to that one. Oh, look, it's my favourite ad that was just on the telly in the corner here in the studio. It was the loan advert where the woman is filming her husband stroke boyfriend while he asks for a loan. Because that's something, you know, that's a memory that you want to keep always. Do you remember when we were so hard up, things were so bad that you had to ask for a loan? Oh, yeah.
They should pawn that camcorder for a start.
And he's having a good time and he's chuckling away, and it's a fun afternoon, you know. Hey, should we ask for a loan again? Because the last time we did it was a laugh. Yeah, go on, let's ask for a loan, then we'll get a takeaway and go to bed and make sweet love. There you go. Anyway, we are texting the nation, or asking the nation to text us about times you thought you were being cool, when in fact, in retrospect, it appears that you were nothing of the kind. And we've got a few people who've been communicating with us. Is that right, Joe?
Yeah, we've had some good texts. Here's one from Bev in London. This is a good one. She says, in the swimming baths once, I started humming Memories from Cats. Some kids gathered to hear. So I began to sing out loud.
So he started with the humming.
Wait a second. Mm-hmm. Some kids gathered to hear.
Listen to that humming.
There's a lady over there. She's humming.
Mm-hmm. We don't know whether she was a kid or an adult either. We hope she was a kid. But maybe she was an adult for extra embarrassment. The kids gather and alone in the moonlight. So I began to sing out loud, then do arm gestures. I thought I was a wonderful actress. When I finished, the kids just drifted away, looking depressed, like they'd seen their future. So she was an adult. She is an adult.
Is that
wow, that's brave of you to confess.
Bev, that's just a pseudonym. It's actually from Elaine Page.
From Bez. That's extraordinary. That's exactly the kind of thing we're looking for. Wow. Here's another one from Rob in Birmingham. At a school disco, I sang the song Under the Boardwalk as an homage to the Bruce Willis version that was popular at the time. For extra coolness, I asked to be introduced as Bruno.
Nice.
As it came from the awful Return of Bruno album by Bruce. I thought it would make me popular with the girls.
Good idea.
Wow, I bet you wish you had that on video instead of all your loan applications.
Who's that from?
That's from Rob in Birmingham.
That's excellent, Rob.
And here are some more sort of smaller ones. James in Rochester reminding us of the existence of global hypercolor t-shirts. They were big like in the early 90s when raving and all that business was popular.
That's right.
And they were kind of heat sensitive, heat reactive. I think they probably still exist.
Yeah.
But when your body heated up, they changed color in a sort of psychedelic way.
That's right.
But unfortunately, what would happen is it would just mean you'd get big purple emanations from your armpits. Yeah. And then you'd sweat a lot, so you'd get one kind of wave of colour that was just sweaty blackness, and then a kind of a mildewy, greeny yellow radiating from that. Yeah, they were a bad idea.
That was around the time of magic eye paintings as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe a little earlier. Maybe. I don't know, maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe you're right. Here's another one from Stephen Staines. This is a contemporary story. A teacher friend of mine tried to get in with the kids by referring to the well-known rapper 50%.
Nice.
His cred really went up. If he was a maths teacher, that would actually be quite a good way to teach maths.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if he was the leader of the Tory party, that would be a legitimate way of canvassing support as well.
So keep them coming in. Text your stories of when you thought you were really cool, but in retrospect, you were the exact opposite. Text 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
Joe, here's a song from Manson, and this may be shocking to you, but it's about a stripper vicar.
Quite right. Manson there exposing the scandalous ease with which strippers can get away with vicaring, or indeed vicars can get away with strippering. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's time for the news with Catherine and Lucy.
Oh, so ironical, man. It's like a big irony cake with irony icing and like a big ironical
candle
on the top of it.
We're playing that Amy Winehouse track as a public service. Of course, you're not allowed to buy her records anymore. It'll only encourage her to spend the money on bad things. So we're letting you hear the music for free in order to keep you happy and her safe.
That's true, exactly.
BBC working for Britain there. This is Adam and Joe on Six Music on The Breakfast Show, filling in for Sean W. Keaveney. It's our penultimate show. Tomorrow will be our last show. It's going to be a big show. It's going to be like Christmas Day tomorrow.
It's going to be amazing. Friday, it's going to be like Crackerjack mixed in with the premiere of Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
And a big rock and roll show with the Arctic Monkeys playing.
Wow.
Headlining. And David Bowie as a support act.
Yeah, David Bowie cleaning up.
Cleaning up.
The mess.
And at the end of tomorrow, you will hear, played in full, the winner of the Band-Aid musical face-off between myself and Joe. We urge you to go to the Six Music website now, BBC Music, BBC, you know,
don't bother.
Go find the Six Music. We just type in Six Music, you'll find it. And you can vote for the track by Joe or myself on that website there. And Joe is at the moment in the lead, folks, despite the fact that his effort rests entirely on the attractive sound of
one. I can't believe you keep saying this. It's
synth
so
stab.
Rude.
It's true.
And insulting.
I know. I'm just playing dirty because I'm so far
you
behind.
You're playing dirty. It'll, you know, it won't work.
I know.
You'll regress it.
I know.
These people won't sympathise with such an evil man.
It's true, isn't it?
Listen, you can listen to samples from both the tracks on the Six Music website, and you can make an informed decision without relying to the cant and bile of a jealous loser.
The Canton Bile of a Jealous Loser.
That's a type of medieval song structure, isn't it? The Canton Bile. Anyway, you join us in the middle of Text the Nation. It's our special feature where we ask you to text us and we read them out. It's something no other show does. We invented it.
We invented this.
And it's exciting. So we've been asking you today to text us in with stories about when you thought you were super cool, but in the end were actually a super fool.
Super fool. I just remembered that I had a number of makeup decisions that I made.
Yeah, you went through a phase. This was even post... Well, I guess let's start this from the beginning. I mean, everyone, when they're a teenager and their skin goes funny, considers using makeup. Mm-hmm. If they're a man, because there are those Clearasil products that basically are sort of medicated makeup.
Yeah.
If you're going to put that on your spots, why not go the whole hog and slap on some foundation, some eyeliner, some lippy and a wig?
I didn't do foundation and lippy and a wig.
I was going too far for comic effect.
But I did do the other ones because my mum one day handed me her cover-up stick, you know?
That's what I was talking about, medicated foundation kind
but
of
But it
thing.
Wasn't medicated foundation, it was just foundation foundation.
Okay.
And she said, there you go, this is a little trick that us women use when we're looking a bit rough, and just cover up that spot with this, you'll be sorted. And then I thought, this is amazing, it's a miracle cure. And so I nicked it. I nicked it off her, and then I started experimenting with all the other things you could do with a cover-up stick.
What else can you do with it?
The first thing I did was use it as lippy.
What? To try and eradicate your mouth?
To make my lips look kind of white and blanched. Like, as if I was a sort of robot man.
What, at school?
Yeah.
Or on a night out?
On a night out, generally.
Really?
And then I would... And then
why
I would
you want to do that?
I would embellish. I don't know, because there was something... Sometimes you see it, it's a look, you know, your lips are all...
I suppose it's a kind of a Gary Newman type thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like a Newmanoid.
I know what you mean.
And I put a little bit of eyeliner on there as well, because I thought maybe I looked like the guy from Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. It's amazing how it's amazing how important it is to look really futuristic when you're learning maths.
Yeah. And I'd stand there on the platform at Earl's Court station and I would think genuinely to myself, I'm pretty cool. And I imagine that a lot of people are looking at me right now and thinking, look at that kind of robot androgyne.
I tell you one thing that that a lot of people probably did is when they were kids and when you were running along the pavement.
Yes.
Did you ever make that tactical decision to instead of running with your fists clenched, you'd think, wow, if I extend my palms into like blades, I bet you I'll be more aerodynamic. I'll run a bit faster.
That's right, yeah.
I used to think I could run so fast that people were looking at me and suspecting I was bionic.
Yeah, well, you are partly bionic, aren't
you? It's true, yeah.
Now, Joe, it's time for your free choice.
Nuts. Sorry?
Bionic nutties. It's time for your free choice, and you've picked a French band.
Yes, it's a French band.
I like it, it's a French band.
La musique de France. Il s'appelle... it's called You Can Blame It on Anybody. It's by a band called Phoenix, and while you listen to this, imagine the lead singer making love to Sofia Coppola, because that's what he does.
That's what he does for a living.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I like that Phoenix track there, Joe. What was it? There was loads of people in the background.
I was just thinking maybe I should have played their previous single. The backing singer's going... You know, they don't... They just get thick people to do the backing vocals, Phoenix.
You know, Aphex Twin, that Window Licker single was very similar. It had similar kind of breathy... but he made a sort of advantage
of... a bit better, didn't he?
...doing it all wonkles.
Anyway, that's just a sort of Phoenix taster. Their previous single was a bit better than that one.
Their last album was very good.
Yeah, they are good. They're called Phoenix. They're from France.
They're from France. They like hip-hop. They like ladies. What is the problem? What is the big problem? I like ladies, so what? Why is it so bad?
Can we have the Text the Nation jingle? Just to clear the air.
I like ladies, why is it a big problem all of a sudden that I like women?
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email, is that a problem?
It doesn't matter, text.
Yes, it's time for Text the Nation, the feature when we ask you to text us in about things. Here are some texts we've got. The theme today is moments when you thought you were super cool, but in retrospect you realise you were an idiot. Here's one from Sam in the Wirral. Ooh. When I was about 10, I went through a slightly obsessive phase of eating bread in one go. That is, folding the bread, then stuffing each piece into my mouth and chewing. One day, a slightly older, significantly cooler boy saw me doing this and thought it was the most amazing thing he'd ever seen. For about 2 years following, I had older boys coming to me asking to eat pieces of bread they bought me.
What? So they were bringing him bits of
bread? Yeah, hey, I hear you eat bread in a cool way. Here's a piece. Show us. Demonstrate. At the time, I thought it was because I was so hip. But with hindsight, I feel I was the center of a warped bread fetish.
Oh.
Maybe they were just taking the mickey out of you.
Exactly. Hey, bread freak.
Oh, it does sound quite cool, actually. I'm picturing it. Wow.
He folds it up into a ball, and then he shoves it into his mouth. I mean, I used to do bread balls. I used to pull the crust off and then do a squidgy ball from the...
I think it's just the insouciance of just eating a whole bit of bread. I mean, only a man could do that kind of thing.
That's true, isn't it?
Only a powerful man. It's like when I first went to New York and first had a New York pizza. I remember my American friend, he took a slice of the pizza and he folded it in half and just shoved it in his mouth like a big sandwich.
Like a calzone.
Yeah, I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
Mm.
It's a similar kind of thing, isn't it?
Do you still eat your pizza that way ever
since? I like to. It gives me a bit of a thrill.
Well, you don't ball it up in one piece and shove it in your mouth in one go like bread boy, though, do
you? Yes, I don't. No, I don't. Here's another one. Thanks, that was Sam in Wirral. That was very good. I'm not going to read that one out. Hang on a second. Here's one from Gil Kelsall. I think that's right. Or Jill, I'm not sure. Now of Reading. Picture the scene, dot, dot, dot. A rather rotund, incredibly short 11-year-old riding around the mean streets of Hull on a second-hand burgundy shopper bicycle with a back pedal brake with a basket on the front. In said basket, there is an enormous stereo. The ones where the batteries are the girth of a small child's thigh. Blasting out at some considerable volume is Give It Up by KC and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah.
That was me. It was 1984. I thought this was cool. I was sorely mistaken. I don't think he was mistaken.
No, he sounded very cool.
Jillian, it's a
now, baby, give it up.
That's cool.
That is cool.
That would be cool now as well as then.
Now, you said shopper. Is that not a mistake?
No, a shopper bicycle, no. He's not saying like chopper with a kind of...
We're like...
Germanic shopper. I was running my shopper. No, it's like a bicycle with a big pannier so you can have your shopping in it.
Got you.
It's an uncool bicycle, but I think that sounds perfectly cool. It sounds like the opening sequence to some Spielberg, you know.
Absolutely.
Suburban Spielberg.
That's romantic, man. You know, one time I just remembered this with the bread freak there, thinking that I was the coolest because I was watching Top of the Pops in the school common room one time. Mm-hmm. It was on, I used to go to a boarding school, and the highlight of Thursday evenings was being allowed to watch Top of the Pops, and Ultravox's Vienna was at number 2 in the charts, held off the top spot by Joe Dolce.
Rightly so.
Shut up your face. And the video for Vienna was amazing, as you'll recall. It was like a cinematic masterpiece.
We were describing it yesterday, I believe.
Were we?
Yeah, in relation to the editor's music.
Yes, like, exactly. Long coats and grey skies.
Yeah.
And I was doing the drumming. I was doing air drumming. Do, 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 do. Like just drumming in the air with my hands.
That's cool.
And I was watching the screen, but I was very much aware that some people were watching me. Do you know what I mean? So I was thinking, it was like I was completely rapt. Do, 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 whoo, do, 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 do. And I was right on the beat with my air drumming. And this guy, one of the seniors, was watching me. And he was stood by the TV and he went, look at this guy. Look at this guy down here doing this drumming. He's amazing. Look at him. And I just thought, wow, I'm the coolest. What I'm leaving out of this story is that he was the biggest dork in the whole school, this guy.
Well, that's okay.
You didn't want any props from this bloke. Now, Joe, it's time to get into the gravel pit.
Oh, this is fantastic. The music's been quite good this morning. We've had Boops by Sly and Robbie. Yesterday we had Tribe Called Quest. Now we've got some Woo. This is the Wu-Tang Clan with Grab.
That is Frente with Bizarre Love Triangle. What a lovely little sound that was. I was waiting for it to kick in, though.
It wasn't going to.
No, I never did.
They do not do the kicking.
I don't like the kicking. I don't like it.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, just coming up to 9:30, the last half hour of our show, and tomorrow it's the final show. All sorts of special things happening, including the unveiling of the winner of the Band-Aid competition, Adam and my sort of songs we've written going up against each other. So that'll be exciting. And as it's our final show tomorrow, listeners, you can wear what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
No need to wear your Adam and Joe Breakfast Show uniforms. You can come in mufti.
And what's more, you can bring in some games if you like. Board games.
One of our texters suggested. Who was it? It was Innes. Innes.
Innes. Innes. I don't.
Innes. From. Why stop moving it, Jenny? I've lost it now. I had it a second. You've stop it.
Ooh.
Where is it? Now I've lost it. Yeah, there we go, in Teddington. Good morning, Adam and Joe. As tomorrow is your last show on Six Music, can we bring a toy from home?
Yes, you can.
You can, yeah.
You can, yeah, absolutely. As long as it's clearly marked with your name on the underside. Now, pretty much we're going to wrap up, I think, Text the Nation.
With another couple of quickies?
Yeah.
Here's a quickie. No! Lisa says no, we got to go to the news right now. We'll wrap it up after the news. Here is the news with Catherine and Lucy.
Maximo Park with Girls Who Play Guitars. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, covering for Sean Keaveney for the rest of today. And there's only 20 minutes left of that for our show. And then we'll be back with you tomorrow. And that's it. Sean's back next week. He'll be glad to hear if Sean's your man. Joe Cornish, have you got a couple more texts to wrap up our Text the Nation?
Yeah, we've got a couple more.
Today?
Here's one from Kerry. Of course, listeners, we've been asking you to get in touch with us with moments in which you thought you were cool, but actually, in retrospect, realise you were a fool. Here's one from Kerry. This is quite an interesting one. After finding out I needed glasses at 12, I persuaded my mum to let me get tinted lenses to fool people into thinking I was wearing sunglasses.
Shades, nice.
Now, I remember kids at school who did that.
Yeah, they got prescription shades, but they were a little bit too cool.
Yeah.
Just functional.
So they were tinted. I used to think they were just partially sighted. It used to give them a kind of a Mr. Magoo feel.
Sometimes people... I remember someone turning up with aviator shades.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't Omar Fadley turn up with aviator shades?
Very probably. And when he was asked to take them off by the teacher, he'd go, no, because they're actually prescription lenses.
Exactly.
Quite a crafty tactic.
Yeah, I actually did think that was cool. You know, sunglasses are a funny thing because every time you put them on, I mean, they're great in a way because obviously they fulfill a useful purpose, but a useful function even. But you do think you're cool when you're wearing them, though, don't you?
Mm.
A little bit of you is...
Well, thinking, they make you mysterious.
Yeah.
No one can see your eyes. Who knows what you're thinking?
Who knows?
The eyes are the window to the soul, and you shut that window because you've got no soul because you're too cool.
Too cool to have a soul.
You've seen too much killing
and
too many wars. Yeah. You know, you've lived too much.
Yeah. And I've seen a couple of pictures. I mean, you know, maybe it's just because I'm getting a bit older now. But the pictures of me from last summer... wearing my shades, no, I don't look cool anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I still look cool.
Like this year, I suddenly thought, oh no, I don't look cool in shades. You know what I mean? Like anyone can look cool in shades. This year, it wasn't working.
Really?
Oh man, I felt so ancient.
I have developed a thing where I just don't care anymore.
Have you?
I lost my shades. I had to buy some at short notice. So I bought this really ugly pair. and the brand is Animal. And they've got the word Animal in gold along the side of the sticks, you know. And they're horrible. They're really pinched. They make me look like some kind of giant insect. And I just don't care anymore.
I used to have a pair of shades. Actually, this was one time I did think I was cool and I clearly wasn't. Do you remember those circular shades? Thomas Dolby used to wear them.
Lennon shades.
Lennon shades, right? But in the early 80s, there would be an extra pair of shades.
That's right.
That would flip that would down. Flip down.
You can still get those. I bet you can get those
top.
In Camden Market, places
it's
like that.
That's the kind of thing the Pet Shop Boys might have worn.
That's super cool. And if you're in the middle of a sentence and wanted the second half of the sentence to have particular effect, you could flick the top layer down.
Flick the top layer down.
Yeah.
Now, here is Eros Charles. We've been... Oh, Eros. Oh, we had the Eros.
We don't know how to say his name still.
Eros, Eros, Eros. Okay? Take your pick of how you want to pronounce his name.
This is exciting because his new album, The Miracle Inn, is the album of the day here on Six Music, so tracks will be being played from it all day.
And it's a wonderful album. This track is called Horse Riding. That's brilliant, brilliant. Ooh, that is wicked stuff, man. That is Eros Childs, Eros Childs, whatever, with a track called Horse Riding from his new album, Miracle Inn.
And that album is out this week and available for you to purchase in the record shops, and it's going to be played tracks from it all day. Does that make sense as a sentence? And it's going to be played tracks from it all day, thick music on it, in it.
That is good enough.
Yeah.
The kids understand that.
These days.
No one goes to record shops and buys things. Man, what are you talking
about?
Yeah,
they do.
Physical? No.
Us old people do.
No one does the physical.
Us old people still love to go into shops. and wander around and look at things and touch them.
But do you actually do the physical purchasing?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Are you? I thought you were Doctor Online.
No, I like to own an album.
Right.
Especially if it's someone like Eros, Eidos, Oros Childs.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because he has...
He's got lovely sleeve designs.
Nice little bit of packaging.
And it means that if my computer crashes...
Yeah.
...or goes corrupt, I'll still have a backup.
Absolutely.
You know?
Good thinking, Jeff.
Absolutely
thinking ahead.
Good thinking.
Yeah, I like that. Do you like the Inspiral carpets?
No.
Okay. Well, you're going to enjoy this one then. This is a classic from the carpets.
I'll be off to the loo.
This is how it feels.
Bye. That's more like a torture than a trail now. When are they going to tell us what the original Baby Love sounded like?
Oh, well, you got to listen to the show to
They're
find out.
Ranging us repeatedly about that.
This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. Anita Rani's coming up shortly in a roundabout quarter of an hour. And she's got the band Architecture in Helsinki from Melbourne, Australia, actually playing live in the Hub.
Yeah.
That's exciting. They're
we can just about
band.
See the corner of the Hub from our studio here. And there's all kinds of thrilling-looking people setting up amazing equipment. You're saying, Adam, that band are a bit like the Talking Heads or that kind of thing?
Well, no, not exactly. But they've got, like, sort of, you know, what's it called? Tom Tom Club era Talking Heads.
Right.
That kind of thing. You can hear some little elements of that in their music, but that pins it down too specifically. They're a really good band. You should check them out. And they'll be playing live in the Hub on Anita Rani's show. Now it's time for my free choice today. This is Bob Dylan with a track from an album called Another Side of Bob Dylan. And it's called Spanish Harlem Incident. It's pretty stripped down. You'll enjoy it. Amazing lyrics in this one. And even though it was late 60s or whatever, it sounds amazingly contemporary.
I'll be the judge of that. Yeah. Stick it on.
Enjoy.
Bob Dylan there. That was Adam's free choice. Spanish Harlem Incident. That was amazingly stripped down, and it had amazing vocals.
It was good, man. And the lyrics
like
from that,
said.
you can't beat those.
That's what I meant, lyrics.
On the crest of your wildcat charms I'm riding. He's the king. I don't think there's any point in really saying that Bob Dylan's no good. Do you know what I mean? Fair enough if you don't like him, if he's not your cup of tea. But every now and again you meet people and say, Bob Dylan, what a phony. He's totally overrated. It's just not true, man. He's wicked.
My parents used to have some Bob Dylan singles. They also used to have some Dylan Thomas poetry being read on 7-inch.
So anything Dylan based.
I got very confused.
Right.
I used to think Dylan Thomas and Bob Dylan, they were both poets.
Mm.
They were both weird and kind of foreign sounding.
That's why Dylan chose the name.
Very confused. Is it really?
Yeah.
There you go.
He revelled in the confusion. Now, it's time for a bit of music. We almost have to say goodbye to you. Anita Rani's coming up very shortly. As I said, Architecture in Helsinki playing live in the Hub in her show. But right now, here's a bit more music from Digitalism. This is a track called Idealistic, and there's a lot of frightening futuristic sounds in this, so watch out!
The music of the future can only be listened to by robots.
Yeah, it's like in The Terminator when the world's being blasted by the machines. This is the kind
Jenny.
Of... That's the sort of... What are you saying, Jenny?
What's she called in The Terminator?
She's not called Jenny.
Linda. What's she called?
Jenny.
She is, isn't she?
That's right.
Sarah.
How
Jenny.
Did you forget that? That's
Jenny.
A character
That's
name.
That's because I've been listening to that song by Tongue that goes, Jenny. Jenny. Someone out there will understand that.
Jenny. Well, that's pretty much it for our show today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening. We've really appreciated it.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who's texted and sorry to interrupt you there.
I was talking absolutely.
That's why I interrupted to talk my own rubbish.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who's emailed and texted and listened. It's our final show for our little filling-in session tomorrow. And don't forget, we'll be unveiling the winner of the Band-Aid competition.
But first, you have to vote for the winner, okay?
Yeah.
You have to go onto the Six Music website, locate the page that the Adam and Joe page there, and you'll be able to choose either my track, Jane's Brain, or Joe's track, European Supermarket.
You can listen to little snippets of each, the tips of both of those musical icebergs, and decide which iceberg you'd like unveiled towards the end of the show tomorrow.
Please,
it's going to be an amazing show
please
tomorrow.
Please vote for my iceberg. I'm not saying make me win, just so it's not totally humiliating.
You know what we might do tomorrow?
What?
Prepare something.
Yeah.
Just as it's the last show. How
really?
About that? Yeah.
Sort of think of something before we come into the studio and...
Yep.
That's interesting.
Okay, we won't.
All right.
So we'll see you tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. till 10. Thanks for listening.
Stick around for Anita Rani
yeah,
with
have a
Architecture
good day.
In Helsinki playing in the Hub. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye-bye.